This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Alex Cox and Merlin Mann. This week's challenge, Dream in AI.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, such a satisfying noise every time I hear it.
Why do you save that to open on the show? Is it a bit now? You've done it in the last three episodes.
I mean, I don't think there's such a thing as bits anymore. There's a bit to every bit. Because every time something starts as a bit,
right,
it intentionally or not becomes a part of you.
Oh, God.
If you play in a space long enough,
right,
it becomes your spot.
Uh-huh.
See, isn't that satisfying?
Oh, God, it's amazing.
Really satisfying. It's just, are you just opening a bunch?
Sorry, I got 22 more.
I really like it. I like it so much. I do actually have a LaCroix, too. Oh
my God. Well, that was all a bit. I'm drinking iced tea. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing well. I have a new life hack. Can I tell you my life hack?
Okay.
So,
yeah, I wish you would. I could use it.
I keep my dishes in the sink and let them soak overnight. See, that was a bit. No. I have always had this little timer clock because I just think it looks cute. It's called a time timer, and it's one of those where it
is like...
Of
course. I'm sorry. Of all the things in the world, of course. It is Alex Cox who owns something called a time timer.
It's called a time timer.
Time timer.
And I am never late to anything that will have a consequence of, I don't want to say won't have a consequence, because there's always a consequence to every action, whether it's good or bad. But most of my success is from acting out of fear rather than... any other
place.
This is
a great life hack so far. So far, I understand that you have a clock and a terrible attitude.
A clock. No, that's the thing. Is my number one, most of what a lot of people on paper would call success is from actions that came out of a place of fear, whereas most of the things that make me happy have never come from acting out of fear or anxiety.
Oh, gosh, yes.
It doesn't mean that I am not anxious or not afraid when I'm doing it.
You know this is really good, right? What you're saying is good. You know this is good,
no,
right?
I don't know. But the whole like consequences thing is because you may notice that sometimes I'm a little bit tardy to the show. I'm sorry. We don't say that. I'm a little bit late to recording our show sometimes, which is never something that happened when I had a real job, because when I had a real job, I assume that there would have been consequences if I was late to something. Okay. I don't know, because it never happens.
Uh-huh.
And the main reason I am late to things is out of pure anxiety. Sure, there's also the time blindness, but that also just comes from anxiety.
Can you pinpoint it?
Pinpoint like
I think if I heard you correctly, and I almost certainly did not, because voices, you've already got quite a goulash cooking here.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that in the past, a lot of things you've done were motivated by fear and anxiety, and that when you feel like when you are late for things, it's usually for things that don't have irreversible consequences, or world-changing things. And you're saying that when you're, we don't say tardy anymore, when you're, late's a period thing, so don't be gender prescriptive. When you're cycling, I already know, as somebody with anxiety, I know this is kind of a strange question. What is one anxious about? And that's all I like to say. I'm anxious about nothing and everything. Can you pinpoint what it is you are dreading or hope or worried about when you're anxious? Is it just the motion that feels dangerous?
Letting people down, including myself, and failure. And
yeah, really?
You might ask, what does failure mean? Oh,
no, no,
well,
no.
What time
Don't,
of
no,
the day
no,
is
no.
it?
Stay, one lily pad at a time.
Yes.
Like in the monsters.
You going.
Just got to take it lily pad by lily pad. Okay. And in this instance, is like, are you nervous about the show in general or talking to me? Or like, what is it? I mean, you don't have to say, but like, what are you kind of concerned? Is it just a more general existential angst?
Existential and fear of not just letting you down, but the theoretical people who listen to this show not being
I
smart
enough,
funnier
people.
Enough, or
really,
or kind enough.
So it's a little bit of stage fright.
Yes, but the thing with actual stage fright, where when I say actual stage fright, I mean literally going on a stage in front of people.
Mm-hmm. And being importantly, being the center of attention who sure better entertain us.
Yes.
And not fuck up. Don't fuck up, Alex.
Yeah, but there are immediate consequences if you fuck up.
Well, there's consequences. If you talk about litter boxes wrong, oof.
Oh.
You're going to get DMs about that.
And standing, if you are late to the stage, there are immediate consequences. You can hear the crowd. You can
right.
Well,
feel
I the think vibe
when,
shift.
When you talk about things like a feeling of pressure, for example, like I know I'm really kind of beating this metaphor to death, but pressure, if you're just getting pushed, being pushed is a certain kind of pressure. But being pushed from one or more than one direction is a lot of pressure. That's I think when we talk about things in our life, like stress, for example, what we're talking about is this feeling that there's something at least temporarily, it can feel permanent, temporarily inextricable. Like you cannot escape from this. So like, you know, they get you coming and going. If it's not one thing, it's another. Catch 22. There's all these things in life where we think about, oh, gosh, like if I wait too long to go out on stage, people are going to think I don't care. And they're going to think that I'm unprofessional and I'm going to walk out on stage already kind of down in the count. But then on the other hand, if I do walk out on stage, I might die.
Mm-hmm.
That's pressure.
But the problem is, for one reason or another, I do thrive under pressure.
That's
because
you have ADHD,
good thing.
My friend.
Well,
no, I'm sorry. I don't mean to diagnose. I thought you said you had ADHD. ADHD, one of the things is that because you lack the dopamine.
Turns out medication does really help.
It can. One of the things with ADHD, I just always reiterate, is that it's. I think it's like a lot of things that are in public consciousness but aren't sort of understood with nuance. I think people really, I feel like anyway, in the same way that people, when we first started talking about spectrum stuff, at least I first started hearing about spectrum stuff in the 80s, it was all about like the, you know, like I say, I'll never forget this PBS special. And it was a kid who was pretty profoundly spectrumed. And he would, my girlfriend and I would talk about this and we laughed because we thought it was funny. He would spin plates and wave his hands. And he wasn't, he couldn't, you know, he was whatever that word is where he couldn't or didn't talk.
Like nonverbal.
Yeah,
autistic?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, real far down, okay. like Bill Tench's kid, mm-hmm. kind of on Mindhunter, maybe further mm-hmm. than that. So, but people got touched on that. And then Rayman came along and gave you this other idea. But the truth is, like, now in retrospect, as our friend Max used to say, there's a lot more people out there on the spectrum than we probably realize, including, importantly for me, my very best friend from childhood, who was the most Asperger's person I've probably ever met in my life, but I didn't have any way of understanding that at the time. And I loved mm-hmm. him more than anybody in the world. And to me, he was just my pal John. I didn't think about him as any, I mean, he was really into X-Men. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the problem with ADHD is on the one hand, it is as simple as your body is not creating and processing and responding to dopamine in ways that are considered healthy. And this ties into so many things, including anxiety, including procrastination. Anxiety is a characteristic of like three different mental and emotional things I struggle with. Anxiety is not a thing. I mean, anxiety is like a backpack that holds your things. There's so many things. I never knew that anxiety was also a symptom of depression. Like, I thought that didn't make any sense. anxiety is a symptom of ADHD. Anxiety is OCD, like all these different things. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that if it's better understood that ADHD is about, don't have enough of this chemical that people don't realize they even have unless they're gambling or getting a beach. And that lack or that poor regulation of that particular chemical means that you have to, your body is, I feel like the anxiety is something in part that my body creates to get me to the level of dopamine where I can cope. And like you and I both said, we're both pretty good in an emergency. I get crazy focused. I'm really good. My problem is everything before the emergency and everything after the emergency.
Exactly.
Do you recognize that in yourself? Or, well, better put, does that resonate?
Yeah. Thriving under pressure part. Being on stage is fine. It's afterwards where I can't stop thinking about all of the ways that I was absolutely terrible and fucked up and let everyone around.
I keep thinking about that Android question where you guys cheated at the relay event.
I didn't cheat.
You did. You absolutely participated in cheating.
No. In fact,
You tried to drag poor Quinn into it.
All right. No. I was, in fact, sharing a hotel room with Kathy Campbell, who is the arbiter of the Relay FM trivia questions.
God, get a room. Get another room. Read a second
and,
room.
No, it's San Francisco. Hotel rooms are expensive. And she had a barrier where the note cards were, where I was not allowed to go. And I would be like, okay, I am going to the bathroom now. I don't want to see the note cards.
I think the lady and they doth protest too much.
No. I will get Kathy Campbell on record. And then later I found, not out of malice, but I found out that
we'll get probably two or three episodes out at least before you give it up.
But I found out that some folks had seen the note cards the questions beforehand, which is fine. But then I got a little bit too into the game and we did indeed win. And there was no cheating involved. Mm-hmm. I'm not against cheating. I am just saying that I didn't do it in this particular instance.
You're probably anxious.
Well, that gets back to my life hack and being
good your dishes, right.
In an emergency. Yeah, I have a timer where before I have...
You know, if you follow the route of Mike Hurley, pretty soon you're also going to need a timer to remind you about your timer.
No. All it is a physical. It is a little physical object that just sits in front of my desk, and like when you are literally going on stage or literally going into a meeting, there's something in my brain where there is that fear that gets that dopamine to a place where it is easy to be focused.
It's almost like you've been climbing a hill. Mm-hmm. And you can't see that this is not perfect, but it's almost like you're so exhausted knowing you have to reach the top of the hill. There's no peak, no top in sight. And you just keep pumping and pumping and pumping and like trying. Oh, fuck. And then at some point you go, oh, I guess I'm over the top now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it doesn't make you feel happy, but it's not that it makes you feel happy, but it's that you go like, I guess, okay, that thing's done. Wish I could deal with this in a wholesome way.
Yep. Well, the wholesome way, or at least the second path is, or stepping back on
it
with my timer. I have this little countdown where an hour before I quote have to or what I've chosen to do something. It is now the thing that helps me travel up the hill, but it's just this literal reminder of a good thing is going to happen at the end of this. Those bad consequences of letting people down that are nebulous.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Just,
you need a slightly broader view. Right?
Because there's the dopamine of if I don't do this thing, I will be fired or evicted or the power will turn off and or my car will be towed.
I don't always know the difference. I couldn't tell you bodynergically the difference between, I mean, I know dopamine and adrenaline are different things, but I think they both have a role in that case. If you think about like stage fright, the phrase you always used to hear, at least when I was coming up, was you have like butterflies in your stomach. And I learned to believe and really inhabit the idea that that is normal and in some ways healthy. You can't tell somebody this when they feel like they're going to throw up. It's not going to help. But what you, if you do it often enough, what you pick up is that you're nervous. Those butterflies are there because you care.
Yep.
It matters to you to do this, right? And you can use that. And, you know, you can try to channel that energy in a productive way. I think we should start a podcast about our feelings because there's so much shit, Alex, that I don't send you throughout the week. I'm constantly, I don't know, maybe we could try this for a week for fun. Have you ever said anything to somebody's queue in Reader? It seems like a lot to assume, but you can supposedly send things to people's queue in Readwise Reader.
Oh, I did not know you could do that.
Okay, I would like
this
to
is
do...
great software. I love it.
Holy fucking
That's
shit.
Awesome.
Well, because this week's challenge involves, I guess what you can broadly call AI, I was back into invoking Ghost Reader, Shift-G, and making, just for fun, while I was waiting, I was listening to Rockpile and generating haikus out of my books and articles. And this is such a good piece of software. I hope they don't fuck this up.
Mm-hmm.
Totally tangential. Can I do a quick side rail here?
Please.
Sidebar. Here's you. Ready? Circling back. Maria Bamford, the Junjweed, the horseback militia. Matter is really now officially, Matter being the bookmarking, read it later, et cetera, service, is really doing the full court press to get you to premium up. And just to be clear here, I'm not a cheapskate. Like, I bought 2 years of Ivory yesterday before I even used the app. Like, I buy stuff in apps all the time. I've bought everything that is Last of Us on the PlayStation Store. I'm not cheap about this stuff. But for some reason, I was like, you know, actually, Matter's not my favorite. I would pay that for a reader. I would pay more than that for a reader. But the thing is, though, what I do like in Matter, like I say, I like the subscriptions thing, but I also really like their recommended staff picks or whatever. And a lot of it is that kind of, like, turns out adjacent fruitcake Substack shit that I like a lot more than I'd want to admit. But sidebar one, can we try the thing where we send things to each other's queue with mindfulness?
Absolutely.
This is
Absolutely.
One I picked up, I'm pretty sure, from Matter. And I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I love a reframe. Ain't no context like a reframe context. This is a piece by something called Malcolm Ocean from February. And the title of the article is, have you ever heard of this? Towardsness and awayness motivation are fundamentally asymmetric.
Towards,
yeah, I can send this to you. I will. I'll put it in your queue, whether you like it or not. Towardsness and awayness motivation. And I don't know if this is a very consequential distinction, but obviously he's contrasting that with what we, you know, historically call positive motivation, negative motivation. I mean, so historically we think of, like, if you think about, like, well, you know, how about this? Let's sum it up in the carrot and the stick. Right. Which if y'all don't know, that goes back to the idea that, like, there's two ways to motivate a donkey and you need both. You need a carrot that the donkey can follow because it wants to eat the carrot. And you also need a stick because you smack it on the behind to get it to do what you want. That if you just use carrot and just use stick, you may not be or you're committed to only ever using one in all situations. You know, instead you say, well, I'll use the carrot whenever I can and use the stick when I have to. Right? Positive and negative. It's I want to seek pleasure and reject pain, right? And I don't know, this might sound subtle. Malcolm Ocean, what's the difference between positive and negative motivation? He says, I like to talk about these as towardsness and awayness motivation, since positive and negative mean near opposite things in this exact context, depending on whether you're using emotional language or systems theory language. But this is, are you ready for this? Because all this talk is leading up to this. This is the first head in the piece. You ready? So we got towardsness and awayness. You get that idea. I'm motivating you towards something, or I'm motivating you away from something. And I can also do that with myself. Three words: awayness, can't, aim.
You're going to end up with piss on the floor, no matter how hard you try.
You fundamentally can't aim awareness-based motivation. In one-dimensional systems, this is almost sort of kind of funny because there's no aiming to do. And he shows this, it looks kind of like the Elric and Melnibone kind of like symbol for chaotic evil, all these arrows pointing out. When you're trying to get somebody away from something in three dimensions, what is away, as Michael Stipe asks? You follow? Awayness is just like, do you follow what I'm saying? If, let's say, for example, you're in fight or flight, or you know, you're panicking about something. And maybe it's that you walked into a room, like the time I walked into my bedroom when I was 15 or 16 and there was a snake in my room. There's a snake in my room. And all I knew was I needed to be wherever the snake wasn't. Because it scared me, right?
How big was the sidebar? Wait, how big was the snake?
It was snake-sized, Alex. Have you ever had a snake crawling by your bed in a dark room?
No, that's horrifying. Well, you're right. When you're by your bed, it does not matter what the size is. It is a snake size. My question.
There's a reason that when we talk about things like, you know, all these different things with your brain juices, you know, one of those classic examples in terms of like desensitizing yourself, or what's that thing, a phased exposure kind of thing, is like, well, if you're scared of snakes, like first maybe we'll talk about a piece of rope. And like maybe you might look at a piece of rope through a window, and you know what I'm saying, like where you're like slowly like getting more okay with it. It's just that as it turned out, I had mowed our lawn that day and left the garage door open and the house door, and a corn snake had come in. Now the county extension officer that my mother called on that particular Saturday night in 1982 came out and said, quote, "It's only a corn snake." And but like I don't know from snakes. All I know is there was a snake in my room and it freaked me the hell out. The point being, what is the one thing I want to be right now? I want to be away from the snake. Well, where is that? Is that going to see a production of Hamilton at the Richard Rogers Theater? Is that going to the Red Baron Arcade to play Asteroids? Is that running through a plate glass window? Awayness can't aim. Is that making sense?
Yes, but I am cheating and looking at this, so I'm looking at the arrows.
But doesn't that? But like it's, I don't know. There's something so on the face of it. When I first saw this, I was like, yeah, this sounds good. But like that, I guess that seems kind of obvious. But when you really start thinking about it, towardsness is what you want. Towardsness is where in three dimensions you would like to be, as opposed to a single point in the universe where you don't want to be. A place in the universe where you don't want to be kind of becomes the universe.
I think that this is very similar to what I was thinking about, except I put it in a nerdier, artier way of none. The awayness is the fear part. And yeah, it's been accomplished. I am indeed away from getting evicted or getting yelled at, but I'm not seeing Hamilton. I'm not making out with another cute they. Like it doesn't.
It's just that, this felt really.
This diagram's really funny. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not profound to you, but like it is to me.
It is
to me, because if you are an anxious person, awayness is a way of life. If you are,
what is fucking me up is the coercive motivation bit that's after it. I'm sorry, I'm jumping above this too.
No,
but
it'll be in your queue later on. But I think that's that rhymes with what you're saying. I think in some ways is like, and I, you know, just for what it's worth, I really want to get your back on this. I totally agree with you. This is why 2023 is going to be the year of funny voices. And it's going to be the year that we start saying no to shame. Because as we know from the Dutch book, shame is our brain's unintentional way of, it's a way of our brain trying to help us by saying, this thing that you're feeling is, you should feel bad about what happened no matter what. And that becomes, talk about coercive, that becomes a way where you like coerce yourself into awareness. And it sucks. And like, it's got to stop. And if it takes a model with arrows to make me see that in a way my brain can absorb, like, I really like that.
That's very good. You should.
I have a lot of these, Alex. Can I do one more?
Please, please.
Now, I had a funny realization over the weekend, because I was, I don't know, I've talked about this, Gruber and I talked about this during that talk, this idea of like, there's just some sites I won't link to, because back in the day when I was a prestigious blogger, because like, it had misspellings, or it didn't seem classy, you know, and Gruber's talked about this more than I have, but like, there's some times where you're just like, there's been times when like, I have sent and received messages from friends who are like, hey, I'd love to link to this, but can you fix that typo? And I'm like, I totally understand. Ooh. And yes, I will, right? Because you know a bad neighborhood when you see it, right? So what's funny about a read it later service or something in this case like Readwise is that
I just want to say, in my case, a bad neighborhood is where all the houses look the same and people are the NIMBYist. I hate this metaphor. No.
I don't understand.
I'm sorry. I'm having when you see a bad neighborhood, that is the sort of dog whistle that I just heard about Chicago, because there have been a bunch of unfortunate shootings.
What the fuck are you talking about?
In Chicago. When you say a bad neighborhood, what people hear is black and brown people.
You're familiar with metaphors, right? I know you went to art school in Illinois, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Some metaphors are bad.
I'm going to be the woke donkey. All right, continue.
No, you're doing great. So, for example, this thing that I sent you right now, where this Bill McIntosh person is operating from, is that a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood? Would you please read me this promoted tweet I received a few days ago? Please read it aloud.
This is incredible.
No, please read. Just to read it. Read.
All right. Would you like me to read your tweet?
No, I'm just
reading
what the promoted Mr. McIntosh tweet has to say.
From Bill. His name is Bill McIntosh.
All new way to generate revenue.
All new way to generate revenue without having to buy some expensive course or system. It's 100% free. This doesn't require you to join some expensive program or course in order to make it work. There's no opt-in and nothing to buy. Check it out now.
What's his domain name, Alex?
Jobcrusher.com.
New method banks, large
commission without selling anything.
Yeah. So the metaphor where I'm accidentally, I guess, unintentionally making fun of where you live is to say, look at this, and this has the stink of bad neighborhood on it. I do not want to hang out with this guy. I do not want to be associated with what he does. I'm going to go full lifestyle Lloyd Dobler on this shit. That's what I mean by a bad neighborhood. And all I was trying to say with Readwise Reader and similar Instapaper is if you only read something on its own, completely unadorned, God, you took me so far off a really short point. When you don't see how shitty a website is, you can only evaluate the content based on what you're actually reading. And then you click through and like, I found this really fascinating thing. My doctor's talked to me in the past about what's called the Vegas system. V-A-G-U-S.
Oh, yeah.
And I know this is probably only slightly more credible than Morgellons, but the vagal system is this extremely long nerve that goes through a lot of parts of your body. And it has been, I know it has a huge role in the sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system. And to cut a long story short, it's kind of interesting that it seems to touch on a lot of the systems and organs that we associate with panicky things, bad feelings. Obviously it involves your brain. It goes through your digestive organs. And I read this the most amazing piece that might be total bullshit, but I thought it was so interesting. It's called polyvagal theory. And so this person says, this piece is called, well, first, I just want to say what the piece is called, how to map your own nervous system, the polyvagal theory. And this is actually, Van der Kolk is, I think, a fan of this theory, which is that there's these different labels of sort of regulation and response that are happening in your body. as a result of. So, like, you could say a word like,
this is good. This is really good.
Look at this graphic I'm sending
you. It's really good.
So, like, but you know how we talk about fight or flight? There's mm-hmm. fight or flight. And then I think one time you're the one who first introduced me to fight, flight, or freeze. This mm-hmm. model is saying there's three things going on. You have what's called, I'm not going to spray science sauce on this, but ventral vagal is this idea of like social engagement. This is the most controversial one, which is like when you return to a state of like homeostasis, you can engage with people, you can be happy, you can be grounded. But then the thing is, the sympathetic nervous system kicks in, that's fight or flight. So that's mm-hmm. like frustration, irritation, anger, rage is the fight stuff, right? Worry, anxiety, fear, and panic are flight things. They're breaking out freeze as the next level of this, which really interests me and obviously Van der Kolk, because he's saying, well, yeah, it's not just fight or flight. Like if you tend to, like if something happened to you when you were a kid and you couldn't get away from it, you may have an unintentionally sort of conditioned response to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think without being too sad about this, when we talk to people who've been assaulted or have in some way like had their body and their integrity and their agency taken away, and you say, oh gosh, how'd you get a boyfriend like that again? Well, that boyfriend's just like your dad. And you're like, yeah, he is. You think that's how I want to be? Because sometimes I freeze. And that's just, what is the topmost in that graphic, Alex? Just west of and below freeze, what's the top one under dorsal vagal?
Dissociation.
Yeah. So, so here's the thing. The reason I'm promulgating this here is not because I vetted this and pretended to read the papers and stuff like that. I do think there's something, it's something very much to this that is really just adjacent even to mindfulness, which is I just caught myself feeling a thing. Oh, what was the thing? The feeling was I just, like, this could be almost like a song in your head. There's this thing you keep, the tape that you keep playing over and over in your head. And then CBT-like, you say to yourself, well, how does that make me feel? Well, it makes me feel really anxious. Well, let's explore that. And, like, I'm not saying you can, like, you know, become a monk in an hour by knowing about this. But getting a way to name the feeling that's associated with that response does feel wholesome. To ruminate on it excessively, I don't know if that's great. But if you were to say to yourself, well, it's not that I'm going to just talk myself out of this and back into quote-unquote feeling good. It's that I need to establish a better baseline for where I would like to end up, sort of. And on the one hand, things that aren't that good feeling aren't going to destroy me. And things that feel like it could be that feeling aren't going to save me forever, and all of that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and finally, to bring it all together through the great Pema Chodron, just remember that you're the sky, not the weather. The weather passes through you, but that's not who you are.
He's not the sun. You are.
Son of whom?
I just like just slipping Grey's Anatomy references.
Oh, that's good.
Just for just a treat. Just my own treat.
I had to put somebody down on the form, so I put you down. You are my vagal. You're my everything vagal.
That's a good movie. How are you today, Merlin?
Great. I read a lot of these things. That's the thing I get from Matter, is I end up finding a lot of this horse shit that I find at least thought-provoking, you know? It's kind of like cocky but dumb.
That's not...
Well, it's a compliment to Jason, isn't it?
It is. It is.
He's one of the greatest curators that we've had. Are you saying Jason Kaki's dumb?
No, God, no. I'm saying these are, they both seem like smart ideas. Did he make a font?
Oh, he made a
Wait,
lot of fonts.
Really?
Oh, he's the OG. He made all those tiny little pixel fonts back in the day.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, Justin Roiland, crap.
I thought his sabbatical was going to be goodbye, Kotke, but then he came back, and I was very, very happy. I think he is one of the OGs where stepping away from a bit for a bit and then coming mm-hmm. back to doing what he does. Like, I almost think that curating is, I don't know, too soft a word, but
oh,
he
yeah,
is
yeah,
on his game.
I totally know what you're saying. Where, like, you know, if you, like for me, if I drink too much coffee, I don't feel good. I want to say too much coffee, I mean like over time, like over like several weeks, if I'm ramping up the amount of coffee that I drink, I not only don't like feel good, I feel bad. Like it has a slightly like diminishing perceived effect positively and an increasing visible, like I'm not sleeping well and it doesn't taste as good. So sometimes I just like to like not drink coffee. Back when I was a hot coffee drinker, I would stop sometimes for a week or two, maybe have tea or something so I wouldn't get headaches. But like then when you come back, you're like, oh, I really do like coffee. And it might, well, I'm not going to, you know, this is also going to be quietly the year of I'm going to stop chicken probleming. I wish. But, you know, it may not seem like a very tough job to be out there curating other people's links. But, you know, to do that with panache and to develop somebody like Andy Bao, obviously, you develop a certain kind of an editorial style, you know. And that's what goes on your /now page is like, I'm fascinated by AI right now. And that's my attention is being used to curate your attention toward things that I think would be valuable to you.
You're fascinated with vagels right now, and you're reading a lot of it. Do you know why? And you said...
Do I know why what?
Why you're reading more and more about all of this. Not just vagels, but sure, you have recommendations from Reader, but you also get, I assume, recommendations about a lot of things. What is bringing you to the polyvagels?
Well, on the one hand, this has been an ongoing interest or concern of mine for years and years and years is, you know, this kind of stuff, gestures broadly. Specifically, I think it's because I sometimes feel, okay, so here's a bit, you know, one of my bits is like people who don't procrastinate have a very difficult time understanding procrastination because people who don't have ADHD, you know, I can completely understand a what's meant to be a wholesome version of why don't you just syndrome, which is why don't you just do your work, or why don't you just take out the trash, or why don't you just make that call you don't want to make? And of course, my response to that is, yeah, why don't I? I don't know. If this were easy for me, it would already be done. To you, it's not difficult, but it would be useful if you would try to understand that I do have my reasons, even if I don't always know what they are. But then to flip that, there is a part of me that always says, well, why don't you just do your work? Or why don't you just do the thing? And then I says, well, there must be something there. And sometimes I think in the same way that meditation became less difficult for me when I learned that trick of focusing on breath coming in and out of your nostrils, it wasn't easy, but now I had something to focus on. I knew what to keep bringing my attention back to. And it's just a tip I heard about, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And different people have different things. Some people like a candle or a fucking bell or an iPhone app. But like, to me, the thing that I bring my attention back to, that I incline my attention back to, like Annie Lamott putting the puppy back on the paper, is like, you don't hit your dog for shitting on the rug. You just keep encouraging it to go on the paper. That's, to me, the heart of mindfulness, is like trying to stay in this moment by focusing on this one thing. And then when your attention drifts, well, the point is that's what you're doing. You're doing it because it drifts. You're actually, that's like saying, I don't want to lift weights because they're too heavy. Well, that's the point of lifting the weights, is you're lifting more than you have the strength to do. And over time, that means you can lift more. And there will always be more weight you can't lift, but the practice of lifting those weights will make you, as they say, stronger. And so why am I interested in this now? I just think because the Vegas thing has interested me. He talked about that like 2 years ago, and I've just been kind of turning it over in my mind. And it does feel like it could be a little bit adjacent to quack science, but I don't care. What I care about is finding a suitcase, to me, is much more useful when it has a handle. And so if I have a model for understanding my own mind, or like what I perceive to be my mind, which is my mind, that can be valuable to me. It's not that I want that. I don't want to go like live inside of a metaphor. I already have a rental house, but I do find it useful to have a model for things like that. Do you know what I mean? And something like this, where you associate like an adjective. I've also started using this app, this app that I want to love, but like it really needs some polish. I grabbed it off the App Store. One of the rare times I saw something sort of not advertised but featured on the App Store, and I grabbed it. Have you seen this app called How We Feel?
No.
I'll go get it. It's pretty similar in some ways to stuff, very similar in ways you've done. And long story short, you've got like these four quadrants. How do you feel right now? High or low energy? And associated with your high or low energy, do you have positive or negative feelings? I say, okay, well, right now I have positive feelings and high energy. Okay, do you feel like which of these like 50 different adjectives do you feel right now? And it has a little explanation. And again, I say this is very much like what you've done, right, with your five-star energy and feeling app, where you go like, okay, right now I feel accomplished. I am by myself at the office. I'm with these people, et cetera. And you just do that several times a day. And the notion is that over time, if you start doing that regularly and are honest about it, you'll start to derive a better feeling about the associations between sleep and then it tracks it against how much sleep you've gotten, how much exercise you've gotten, and things like that. And one reason I half jokingly was making fun of your, like, how many stars do you feel right now, is like, I like the way that this, let me pull one up, and you'll see very quickly how this app needs polish. But I'm checking in. I'm clicking on high energy, pleasant, and I've got options like surprised, excited, energized, cheerful, upbeat, curious, successful, amazed, inspired, productive. So let's say I feel optimistic, and I click that, and it's going to track that, ask me where I am, take a photo, that kinds of stuff, right? And then it will give me a suggestion for what to do about that. And so it can be things like it'll show you a video of like a breathing exercise or something. And because I am a little bit of a word, I'm more attracted by words than like stars and numbers. I like the idea of being forced to choose, you know, relaxed over optimistic. And it's got a little explanation of what that means in their nomenclature. And so I think stuff like that, having a name for what you're feeling can be really good. And if the name for that feeling, this obviously we prefer it's not disassociation because you're not even sure who's feeling it. But, you know, if I could say like, you know, I can feel that, oh, wow, I am kind of angry right now. But I think that sponsored by Arby's. the reason I'm feeling angry is because I'm kind of mad at myself. I'm frustrated with how much energy I burned today just on feeling bad and ruminating. And like, well, realizing that may not make it immediately go away, but now that suitcase has a handle.
So it's not just that this app is tracking your mood necessarily, but the prompts themselves can make you realize.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's that thing that people do. Yeah, there's like, I guess there's an app where you like, it prompts you to take a picture right now and upload it. I've heard people talk about. I think this is kind of like that, which is like, hey, bud, don't overthink it. Like, and do this often enough. Like, any, God, this was such a big deal on the Rectus we recorded last night. We talked about like why I can't draw and how I feel about it. And it's just this thing of like, you've just got to do it a lot. And even if that means just selecting an adjective that describes how you feel, if you do that, the first few times you do that, it's going to feel really weird. But if you start getting into the habit of doing that and really thinking about it each time, that could have very good effects in a number of ways. Not only do you get the data of your honest reactions to things, but you're also habituating yourself to checking in literally with yourself and saying, doing those office hours with yourself where you go, hey, buddy, how's your semester going?
I already like this app, despite it needing...
Oh, God, because when you click on... I don't know if you get this on yours, but when you click check-in, I sometimes get a blank screen. I like, you know, it won't let you capture the extra data about like who you're with, because that's the neat part. Is then when you go to analyze or whatever, you'll see like you had the most positive feelings this time of day. You had the most negative feelings on these days of the week. You had the most positive feelings or negative feelings when you had this amount of sleep, etc.
This actually feels like Bearable, which I found out Maddie uses just completely independently of. Yeah, and I realize for him it's not as important to get all of the data out of it, which is why I was like, meh, meh. Because, mm-hmm. you know, my
I know, my first thought is, does this hook up with, like, I love the way that Day One and things like this work with Apple Health. And, like, to not have that hook up feels like I'm getting kind of ripped off.
Yeah. Like, well, and his whole thing is like, well, I don't need an API. I just want to know what I'm feeling. And it's like, oh, that makes sense. Because it is all of those words and those prompts where, you know, when you're very, very angry, you don't realize necessarily that you are afraid, even though
right.
that outside of it, it seems very obvious of,
right.
oh, I'm not just angry. I'm very, very anxious. And that's, I think, what I like about this app.
Yeah,
already.
I bet they'll, and it got some kind of weird Apple, like, Helping Society award or something, but, like, it's pretty, hasn't been updated in 2 months and feels a little buggy. It's a volunteer effort, I think, and it's funded through donations, supposedly. Can I read you two of the haiku generated by Ghostreader?
Yes, please.
These are two of the haiku.
Yes, please.
These are generated, haiku generated from the EPUB version of The Body Keeps the Score by, what's his name, Bessel van der Kolk?
I call him Mr. Dutchman. I don't know.
Mr. Dutch. Haiku number one. The body keeps the score. A body tells its tale. Trauma etched in flesh and mind. Healing can be found.
Oh, I don't like
more.
That.
Trauma's weight so heavy. I think I've done this one before. Trauma's weight so heavy. Holding it within the body. Seeking healing grace. That's pretty good.
That's very good.
Yeah.
This isn't like, oh, yay, AI, have.
I got a lot to say about AI this week.
Ooh, yay, yay. I just like it as a different framing device. That's why I have fun with all of this. Oh, well, Dig Dug,
nope.
should
nope.
we do
One
challenge?
More.
No,
I just
no,
ran
go
it,
ahead,
I
go
just
ahead.
Ran it on Poly Vegas.
Mm.
What happens in Poly Vegas? Ooh, go, mm-hmm. ooh, yuck. Okay, ready? This is the haiku it generated from that piece. Oh, I didn't finish. So did you actually see the actual website that this is from? The movement
yeah.
paradigm? Now
yep.
is it making sense to you when I say, because you bring it up and you're like, oh, it's one of these. It's one of these call now to schedule a session kind of sites. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Ready? This is how to map your own nervous system, colon. It does go through your colon. The polyvagal theory. Stressed and anxious mind cannot open to curiosity. Stillness brings empathy. That's bullshit, but it's good. Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm well.
Oh, it's
How
very
are you
moist
right
in
now?
Here. It's humid. I'm gonna. Oh, you hear that? Oh, that doesn't
yeah,
sound wholesome.
There's a rattle. There's a rattle.
Well, this is the original, the OG tank of hand sanitizing gel I made in 2020 that I occasionally update. So it's basically
you
just aloe vera.
You made a vat of hand sanitizing.
Don't get fixated
gel?
On the vat part.
Well,
did you not do that? Do you not remember when we had to make our own hand sanitizer? When distilleries
yeah,
started pivoting to hand sanitizer? You don't remember that at all from the year of
I
our Lord 2020?
No, I remember that because I had to refit
Gather
the
around the
office
fire, chillins,
with different
and let me tell you about the
vats.
Pandemic Alex Forgot title.
No, I don't. I'm just hold up.
Hold up, sidebar, put a pin in it. Circle back parking lot.
This is a vat that you just continue to add to? Like,
why are you hanging up on the word vat?
Because I've never heard the word vat and hand sanitizer in the same paragraph, let alone sentence.
Of course you have. You just don't remember it.
There's
a lot of things you don't remember. I love the smell of alcohol.
Fair.
And no, it was just I found a recipe that was like, you know, rubbing alcohol. I also use rubbing alcohol now to kill flies, which I'm pretty excited about.
Ooh, do you have a lot of flies because of the mm-hmm. humidity?
It's no.
Do you know why you
They're
have a
from
lot of
my
flies?
Plants, and I think primarily, especially from my plant food. Like
oh,
when
dear.
You put, like plant food is, plant food. Plant food is, in some ways, it's pretty close to basically like fly bait. If you ever had one of those little apples that you put like vinegar in or like, but like, you know, but basically it, there's putrescent material in plant food. Mm. It's not a vegan product.
Ew.
Well, no, think about it though. Like, what is, how do you make a plant grow? Mm. Well, you put dead bodies on it. In this case, it's just this stuff. It looks a little like a very, very fine gravel, like a Hawaiian beach. And you put that in, you can mix it with your soil. I put it in my aloe plant. So far, it's not really helping.
Hmm. So you just have a bunch of corpse sand.
This aloe plant is my Slaughterhouse Five. It has cost me so much money and aggravation over the years, and it's brought me very little joy. And now I'm just an old man with my palm malls. Poti wee. Listen. Billy Pilgrim is unstuck. Listen.
He's unstuck in time.
He's unstuck in time. Mm-hmm. Everybody remembers So It Goes. Whenever something dies, you say So It Goes. But you know what my favorite repeating bit in that book is? Just the two-letter word that Billy says a lot, which is, If you go back and reread it, you'll find so many times where Billy Pilgrim says, Hey, buddy, how are you? How are you? Are you ready to challenge, buddy?
Are there Trollfimadorians there just like hovering over the bat?
They don't understand how they think it's like we have been tied to a railroad. This is probably some German's very specific train kink. Trollfimadorians say it's like you've been strapped to a train car looking through a tube. Oh, my God. And then they crush your stamps.
Mm, mm-hmm.
We had a vat of AI this week.
A big, big vat. I proposed the challenge, just AI your dream, because something
Say what you think that means.
What it meant was I didn't have a funny or clever way to say, describe your dream to an AI engine that would spit out a pretty picture.
I'm not sure how surpassingly helpful that would be to somebody who doesn't know what the fuck any of that means. I will tell you the way I took the challenge because I did it better. The way I took the challenge was I'm very fascinated by things like Diffusion B that enable you to generate AI generated images based on text prompts and sometimes images. But the spirit of the challenge I took was in some way, and for me, you could use a chatbot for that matter. But like my angle on this was particularly, I don't need to be cute about this, using something like Diffusion B, with that app that you can get off the internet. We'll put it in notes, tippy toe, lemon tree.
Oh, no, we should say the difference between just the basic Stable Diffusion engine, which it's based on, is Diffusion B runs a lot faster on
Well, it's a Mac app.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the
not
model,
quite a Mac app, but it's
No, but like it's
fast.
Not, there's a lot, there are things like the one I wanted to use, that Midjourney, I'm not going to go log on to Discord to use that. Midjourney seems to create the coolest results to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have a thought on that?
It also, I think Midjourney is the coolest and it has the best business model that doesn't make my skin crawl. Like it does use the, like, it has similar scraping tools where, you know, it's stealing all of its images.
You know, did you hear ATP?
Whatnot,
sorry, real quick. Did you hear ATP, the latest one? It's okay if you didn't.
Not the movie one.
Oh, but no. Shit, no. I'm not going to listen to that. Crazy Ivan, my ass. They were talking about how did you hear about how Getty Images is suing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple class action suits.
And what was the funniest part of the story about Getty Images? Them saying, it reminds me of the scene where, it's not Premier Kissoff, but whoever the Russian in the war room is in Dr. Strangelove, and he says, we've learned that the reason we're doing this is because we heard that you were, whatever, something, you were escalating the war with these ICBMs. And President Muffley says, that's you know, secret information. Like, how would you know that? And he goes, they do a tight shot of his face. He goes, our source was the New York Times. And in this instance, Getty's like, hey guys, you can't use our images with those famous and wonderful scene in The Other Two, where the brother makes his sister a red carpet photo with a fake Getty Images stamp on it. And it's
oh,
so
yeah.
fucking funny. It's like her dream come true to make her friends jealous that she's in a Getty Images photo. Well, like, hey, how do you know we tri- Wait, what? We didn't tri- Getty, what? Get who's Getty Images? Like, how would you know that? Because this image we have right here that we made just now has a bastardized version of the Getty Images water stamp right in it. It's just in that funny bleep blorp font, like in Gone Home. Anyway.
Bleep blorp font.
I love the bleep blorp fonts.
Oh, but Midjourney is completely funded by the people just paying to use the engine versus Stable Diffusion and DALL-E that are, you know, funded by basically like big AI. And Midjourney refuses to take VC money, and it just feels.
Why does it have to be in Discord, Alex?
Oh, because that's the easiest way to, like, interface with their
API. So it's like
API
that way you wouldn't have
engine.
To build your own bash, essentially? Like,
right.
It's an interface.
Yeah, you're not using any of your computing power. It's like what
Matt
Howey... Can I just
try it where I won't have to talk to people?
Or
talk about the fact that I'm there?
Yeah, no, it's very much like an app. There's places to talk to people, but most people
that?
Use it don't actually
like,
talk
I would like your help
people.
With that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got Midjourney and, my notes for today. There's another one earlier. Okay, so I'm going to write these down. Send to Q. We're going to try that, right? You're going to help me with Midjourney. And also, I do have a question about OpenAI. And why I can never get in and everybody else seems to always be in. But I can save that for later. Give us your fucking money.com. So what I took it was like, because I became so fascinated with this, much to the, I think, frustration and chagrin of people who follow me on the internet, is like I got pretty obsessed in particular with trying to make AI-generated images of Mike Pence that looked like Norman Rockwell paintings. And it became my hobby on and off for a few weeks. So
there were some boobies.
There were some boobies.
Did you... Oh, was it not you that made the Mike Pence boobies? I don't know. I feel like I saw a lot of Mike
Pence
with
really,
boobies
I didn't pick,
somewhere.
I don't pick what it makes.
Oh. Well, we can get into that. Do you? Do you?
Well, it's kind of like getting mad at me for the circumference of my stools.
Why would I be mad at your Mike Pence boobies? I'm sure they're lovely.
Well, I just sit there and they come out. I don't measure them. I'm not a monster. I would tell you very specifically, and I said this in the after show last week, but my whole idea was like, what, and this is the part, if it, nobody cares, but the thing that fascinates me about these images is that these aren't things that I ever could have created, you know, and they do remind me very much of things like the paintings of, again, of Francis Bacon, of, you know, de Chirico, of these surrealist or expressionistic painters. I think that's such a fun playground for ideas about the mind. And as previously stipulated, my dreams are very impressionistic and kind of almost impossible to describe. The way that I write them down is based very much on how it felt and what was there. Well, really mostly what was there, because you can't describe the feeling. But I love the idea of like the way maybe you said this already, but illustrate your dreams. So the way I looked at that was keep making AI text-generated images until it feels like the way looks like the way your dreams feel is the way I took it.
Have you ever felt like another piece of media or something that you've seen or heard that feels like one of your dreams?
Oh shit! Yes.
When I saw Everything
shit,
Everywhere
yes.
All at Once, that felt like a dream.
Oh, really? That really because of like the fact that it's everything's sort of like discontiguous and yeah. Right.
And that like pace of occasional like not just, you know, surreal moments, but the pace of like mania and then sudden stillness and clarity and stuff like that.
I think that's one reason that I suspect anyway, that certain locations keep reappearing in my dreams in ways. And I'm like, just to be clear, I am partly doing this to be amusing, I hope, because dreams are not interesting. so you have to try. But like, I don't think my dreams are not stories. I mean, you could make it a story, but you would be, you might as well be playing connect the dots with constellations. Like, it's not a story. It's a feeling. But the feeling had a visual component, and the visual component is really all I can share with you. So I either in text will describe to you what I saw exactly as I saw it, that will imply certain feelings, and that there will be a magically real or surreal aspect to it. And then it's so fun to me to get an image. Like, I'm so upset by the way fingers look in so many of these images, but it's weirdly perfect for how my dreams feel sometimes. Mike Pence eating a crossword puzzle on a gravestone is a lot like how my dreams feel. Can I ask a procedural question?
Yeah, please.
This, if I get this right, like, we'll be sharing images with one another here, and then consequently, do you agree it'll make sense to share those images with our friends?
Yes.
We have images. People need to see them.
They will be in show notes. You
where
will click
will
a link,
in,
and
what
you will
is that,
see.
What does that mean, Alex?
You will click, because I don't know where.
Oh my God!
Go yet. You will,
just please stop trying to guess what I'm thinking. I have that plenty
I don't
at home.
Know.
What I'm trying to ask you is, where will people go that the images will be in front of their face? Because I don't think we should do it on the actual page. What you're saying here is, TK, link will be provided for where to go to see these images. It'll be the topmost link. Can we say that?
Yes.
And then you and I can just figure it out, right?
Yes.
You ever feel like a plastic bag?
That's what I said.
You ever feel like a plastic bag just drifting in the wind? You ever feel that? You ever seen a grown man naked? You like Gladiator movies?
Oh, you know what? Have I seen a grown man naked in real life? I don't. Oh, I guess so, but not in a wholesome. Not in a sexual.
Oh, you're talking about walking with a man down to the rectory, if you know what I mean.
I was thinking about a man who had gotten loose on a psych ward, but sure, could go to the
I'm loose
place too.
I'm loose. Stop telling me to loosen up because I'm already loose.
Have you ever seen a naked man poop on the floor? Now that's somewhat impressive.
You mean third person or first person?
Now, if it was a dream, it could be second person. That would be fun.
Bando accidentally pooped on the steps last week, and he felt bad about it. It was so cute.
He felt bad. I was going to say, how do you know it was an accident? But I guess, how do you know he felt bad?
I think he tried to flee the scene. And he got it on him.
His whole tummy had poop on it. Oh, no.
And sweet Madeline's like, oh, no,
angel.
It's okay, buddy. It's okay. And she gave him a little warm bath, which ironically enough, we usually give him a warm bath when he hasn't pooped in a while because it helps him poop. But yeah, he was out exploring. And I have a renewed, like, complete obsession with Bando. I try to keep it in my pants, but I love our fucking lizard so much. Can I tell you the latest thing real quick?
Please.
I don't know why we never tried this in 3 years. Because we got heating pads. I love a heating pad. And Madeline put a heating pad on her lap and turned it on. And I think, what's a lap? Well, a lap is this area when you're seated. It's an area that gets created. Like, where does the lap go when you stand up? Only Jesus knows. But it makes this little invagination between your legs. And she puts the heating pad there and puts Bando, and he nuzzles into the space where her legs are together. And then he falls asleep.
His
tiny
that's
little
like the
eye.
Warmest,
but
he, safest
but you,
space.
You would not believe how cute he is when he falls asleep on the heating pad. And then she picks him up and says, okay, 7:30, it's your bedtime. Well, she arbitrarily decided in October of 2019, 7:30 is his bedtime because she can't stop being a mom and she's great at it. She cleans the poop off the lizard and the stairs. And oh my God, I love him so much. And he gets all nuzzled. I love anything where his hands are like at slightly.
You do the thing too where you say hands.
We should see the thing I'm doing right now. I mean, it's the classic Bando. Bando is the name of a bearded dragon that we adopted 3 years ago, and I love him very much. It didn't occur to me till yesterday. I wonder if his name is some kind of a pun on being abandoned. Never occurred to me.
Oh, I thought you.
No, we didn't name him. That was his name. Well, we didn't want to call him something else.
Oh.
When people tell you, you know, what their name is, call them that and don't be a dick. Huh. That's why he's Bando Mando on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, I should get him on Mastodon.
I mean, I already have the RSS to his Twitter feed.
Oh, I posted on Mastodon, Alex, just for what it's worth.
Oh, am I
I'm holding my fingers like an eighth of an inch apart. I think I'm this close. and so I love him so much. I'll find some good Bando photos for you. You wouldn't believe, you think all those photos that Bando and I put up of him are all the photos there are? Nah.
Oh, no. No. I assume that there is a treasure trove of beautiful and entertaining photographs because you don't want to put the best on the internet.
Here's basking. I love when he basks.
Oh,
he's
you love a good bask.
Look at his face. And he turns and he looks. This is his eye. He's the eye. He turns and he goes, like, what? What? I'm just here getting warm. Look how flat he is. You see how flat he is?
Oh, my God.
Isn't he exquisite?
I always forget how flat he is. Because
he's very
when you
flat.
Hear lizard.
He's thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get
one of him on the heating pad tonight. But
he's
his
so
little
flat.
Hands will be up sort of high. I mean,
oh,
look
gosh.
At this. Look at this exquisite creature. I just sent you another one. Yeah. Just sent you another one. Because you didn't ask. Oh, here he is using a computer.
Why?
Here's him using a computer.
Oh, yes. I want to see the computer lizard.
Okay, so you ready for this one? There's a computer and a lizard in it and a Christmas tree that's just been undecorated. You ready for the title of this one? Don't need lap. He doesn't need a lap. He's got a laptop, but he has no lap, but he has a laptop.
No lap.
And you tell me those aren't fingers? Look at those.
No, those are absolutely
hands. Look at the spikes.
Hands.
Look at the rubbery spikes. And
oh,
they don't hurt,
gosh.
Really. It's so cute.
I find them pleasant.
His face says,
I mean, I've.
Oh yeah, oh, this is good. This is him. This is him just in his hammock. He just gets. I'll think. I wonder what Bando's up to, and I'll walk in the other room, and I'll just walk in, and this is what I see there. This is an Australian bearded dragon. In a hammock we bought him at a store, and his body is in it at this weird, like, sort of like you'd imagine, like, whenever I watch Gilligan's Island, I think, I don't know how Gilligan sleeps in that thing, and I really don't know how the skipper sleeps in that thing. I think they probably do a lot of hand stuff, but I think, like, how could you ever be comfortable sleeping in a hammock for more than, like, a short nap? But his body conforms very nicely to it, and look how his tail just hangs off the back, and it looks like a dragon. You can see some fingers
what's
there.
What's amazing about all of these pictures is I don't think people realize that part of why these pictures are probably so cute is because he obviously feels safe and cared for because he's just basking. He's not, he's not
they
like
do
full
a thing. Have you ever heard of glass surfing?
Scattering glass. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, like, sometimes, well, I've only ever had one lizard in a vivarium, which is a really bad Morrissey song. The spike's so sharp, it hurts my heart, la la la.
No. Negative comedy points, no.
I have earned no comedy points. He has this basking rock over on the other side, that's where the heat lamp is and the UV lamp is. And one way he regulates his temperature is by deciding where he wants to be. And when he's ready to be hot, he gets on the rock right under the 150 watt bulb, and that's when he gapes. And gaping is kind of like, you know, how one of Machi's broken dogs, you know, will slobber. Like, that's how Bando sweats.
Oh, gosh. That's...
He's having a schwitz. I hope I'll put these in. Hey, Alex, let's talk about your dreams, baby.
Oh, gosh. I've been dreaming a lot more lately, and I'm not sure if it's because I've been having too much caffeine or if it's because of a new medication I'm on. Pretty much never.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're missing out.
Well, because... No,
really
I just...
Galactic Grape, look it up.
I
we should do something. We should do a prisoner's exchange. Is that what it's called? We should do that thing like where, you know, I can't get anything fucking good here. I can't get good fly spray. It's that orange oil bullshit. I can't get a good shower head. What was it we did that for?
Oh,
were you,
that's
weren't
true.
You my Confederate
yeah.
for something one time? Didn't I have like a shower head delivered to cards one time?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't get anything good here. And you can't get the Galactic Grape probably.
Yeah. We have all the.
We should do a dead drop. I'll have Bando. Oh, wouldn't it be so cute if I got Bando a backpack? And I think Kevin got him a backpack a long time ago. But if Bando could just deliver it to you, He'd be your lizard mule.
He would be great lizard. Talk about his carrot.
hey, you can get that one.
Well, part of why we could have another we in our challenge doc, you do have another drug or like TK another drug challenge or right. something. And I'm like, okay,
I feel like
all
I
right.
really should take mushrooms at some point.
I am so afraid of taking mushrooms.
I've never
and
taken
then,
mushrooms.
I've had so much
weirder shit than mushrooms,
them.
And I've never had mushrooms. Well, for anybody out there who isn't almost 60, it's very weird to be somebody who's had a fuck ton of psychedelics but never had mushrooms. It would be like somebody who's an alcoholic that only drank beer once.
Yeah, that's...
I've never done mushrooms, and I tried cocaine exactly once.
Yeah.
I've had 2CB. I've had.
I don't even know what the
pharmaceuticals that we got in Sarasota were nuts.
2CB. That's the thing is because of your time in Florida, I just assume that you have.
I've had Hawaiian woodrose seeds. That's my first tripping experience. Was getting all the strychnine that they put on Hawaiian woodrose seeds, so you won't do exactly what we were doing. Part of the ritual is you scrape it off with a razor blade, make a tea, drink it, vomit, and then trip.
Yeah. Oh, no. Wait, I can't get this on Amazon? Hold on. What?
They're poison.
What? No.
All the drugs
yeah,
are
okay.
poison. All the drugs are poison. Poison.
That's why I can't drink alcohol very much, because it truly feels like I am just poisoning and punishing my body.
You get a little different.
I do become fun,
you get very
Alex.
Stoic and want to arm wrestle.
Yeah. I'm very strong.
I'm strong. My shoes hurt too, Dad. You ever seen the Bob LaMonta story on Mr. Show?
No, I don't
think
so.
The after
no,
show.
I mean, that name is... I've probably watched it on this program and then laughed and then forgotten to put the audio into
it's
the
finally started to happen
show.
That now it seems weird to me that Bob Odenkirk was on Mr. Show. Something I never could have imagined. I've watched so much fucking Better Call Saul, which again, I think I first referred to this as the Chevy Chase syndrome, where like 90% of the Chevy Chase I know is from before 1986, and 90% of what my kid knows is Community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
So each of us has a very... So now my kid loves Fletch. Actually, I think gave it a pretty good review on Letterboxd. He loved Nice Guys. My kid is now posting reviews on Letterboxd.
As he should. I mean, I...
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone should.
His name is apparently from a Ricky Montgomery song. It sounds emo. Okay.
Oh, that's adorable.
Let's talk about your dreams, bitch. I'm gonna put this lizard away for a minute.
I think
you know, you say in the south. You say, put that up.
I'll send you some images that I.
Mine are in the ones I made last night at 1 a.m. after recording with Squidward are in the Dropbox. But really, the tweet that I did last night is probably my best thing to send you for this oeuvre. No. Don't look. You don't want
Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can if you want, but. You want to start with yours, or you want me to start?
I'm going to start because I probably have far less interesting things to say.
I was thinking that.
It's all. I thought it would be disjointed and weird.
And I not only like you better than Syracuse. Importantly, I like you differently than Syracuse.
If John
and I had like an Irish folk song written about us, I think it would be called something like The Toilet and the School Marm. Like our relationship is so deeply toxic in so many ways. And he tried to get the help and affection from his friend, and the toilet was flushed. He was judged. You're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. The way you're doing it wrong is wrong. Everything you're doing wrong, you are doing wrong. Oh, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it very wrong. Everything you're doing wrong, you're totally doing it wrong. You could have written that lyric better, and the meter was off. Oh! Suddenly I'm Mr. Ray.
Oh! Challenge, I have sent you... four photographs that feel like the very much like the dreams I have had this week, which I don't even think they are worth describing, but there
been a theme. Wait. Whoa. What the fuck? Okay. It looks like photos. This is like when the girl in the video game looks at the crazy wall and has to figure out if the drugs are dogs. Yes.
Yeah, that's good that. One of them was stepping through a crazy wall that's designed by my mom in 2008.
Okay, that so is wait, what... please do that again. I assume that was you verbatim reading your prompt.
And no, I should have written them down. But stepping through a crazy
what you remember.
Wall.
Say it again.
Stepping through a crazy wall that my mom designed in 2008. I'm pretty sure that's what I put it in.
I love that so much. Oh, my God. I honor the spirit of how you're doing this. It is so my shit, Alex. Thank you. Because you didn't try to make it make sense.
No, because that's
But I love your words, too.
You
guys, just the image is very upsetting. Oh, and it's got Gleepglorp. What's it called? Bleep Bloop language?
Yeah, it's written in the font of like it has a mom 2008 typeface that says like beautiful or live love laugh or something.
Oh shit, I didn't catch that.
And there's multiple.
That's like pillow embroidery wisdom, huh?
Yes.
It's 1:30 somewhere. I just made that up. I don't know if that's real. It's 1:30 somewhere.
I'm sure.
That doesn't even mean anything. Okay.
No, there's weed bombs now. It's 420 somewhere, like tumblers.
Oh, honey.
But by that
honey
I mean like
blaze
big glasses. Yeah.
I'll rip that sick cotton, honey. Holy shit, the second one. Oh my God, this reminds, oh fucking A, Alex, this is really good. I shall tell you right off the dome, this reminds me of a wonderful painting by, not Gauguin, but who's Starry Night? Van Gogh. The Van Gogh painting of his room with the bed in it.
Wait, which one is? Oh, is this my 1920s? The 1920s brothel connected to a McDonald's play place.
Oh, fuck
is that
you! That's so good, Alex. Oh my God, you. Well, I think Kurt would say we can't know whether we're in the same carass, but we're at least seated in the same grand saloon. Holy shit! This is up my alley, Alex.
The one thing that I haven't been able to get close to or really describe are the like tunnels that have been appearing in my dreams. Although the one above a skate park is pretty similar. This is
are we still on the second one?
The 1920s brothel.
Wait, okay.
Van Gogh,
so the first one is the crazy wall with the live left pillows. And the second one is 19. So I don't know what I'm just saying. This is Van Gogh's. It's a beautiful painting.
Bedroom.
Yeah, I think it's called. Oh my God, somebody recreated it.
Something?
Of course they did. Oh my God, I love the internet. You can Airbnb that room. No, thank you. It's called Bedroom in Arles, I believe. When we lived in France, right? Bedroom in Arles, 1888. Do you see the similarity, though? Especially the expression
Yeah.
Oh God, these are so good. Okay, second one, brothel 20s, but it's got a McDonald's booth. And Alex, I just want to point out while we're looking at this, it's almost like an optical illusion because my brain is trying to figure out. I see angles to this that suggest it's a McDonald's, like that the red part kind of looks like a booth at a McDonald's. That crazy wainscoting shit or whatever that is behind the McDonald's TV logo, incredible. And then there's this thing that's kind of like a booth at a restaurant. And kind of like a child's bed in like a Dutch children's book, like where the kids sleep in little compartments.
Oh, yeah.
But it also kind of looks like a mirror.
A part of...
And a cathedral. In the background, you've got a Gothic arch.
I see that, and I absolutely think 1920s brothel, because like or like a speakeasy, almost kind of thing.
get your chicken McDonald's.
I can't get Diffusion B to replicate a, I probably should have done Chuck E. Cheese play, tunnel play. Oh, I'm sure I'm going to do more of these.
I love I almost just said a really unfortunate sentence. I love the idea of you exploring tunnels. I think that's a very, that's an interesting direction, because who doesn't want a secret room? Isn't that, not heard about this? I know this is like an internet bit at this point, but people, especially people who live in tiny places in Manhattan, I can't tell you how many dreams I've had about, it's exactly my room, except then I find another house inside my house.
Absolutely. Back rooms and liminal spaces are all the rage on the internet right now, and I am here for it, as we said in 2016.
Well, yeah, but like something I once mentioned this on You Look Nice Today. So we live in a little house in Florida, and my mom and me, and you know, like you get your bathroom, and there's an access panel to like get to the guts inside the bathtub, but that access panel was through the closet in my room, and so my room had a panel that you could remove, and you were inside the wall.
Wait, really? Whoa! Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
So think about this. Think about, like, let's just put it this way. On, like, the west side of the house was my room. And just to the east of my room, sharing a wall through my closet, was the bathroom. And the bathtub faucet part was, like, basically, you know, a couple feet away from my closet. And so to be able to do stuff without having to tear out tile, they thoughtfully included an access panel. All it was is a door. It didn't have a hinge or anything, but you would just, like, floop, like, pull it out. You know what I mean? And then you'd see the guts of the bathtub, the back of the bathtub in there. And that always made me happy. And I thought that was cool. And I always thought, I wonder what I could put in here. And eventually what I put in there was, if memory serves, it was a Playboy magazine with Shannon Tweed on the cover and 7/8 of a fifth of Jack Daniels. That I would never in a million years drink, because it made me really sick. And the way I said it to Adam and Scott and Adam, was I said, I said, in retrospect, it's the place where I stored the version of me I thought I wanted to be. Have you guys seen my bathtub hole? Mom, stay out of my bathtub hole. That's where new me lives. I hope, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so Chicken McDonald's from the 20s. Love that. Should I go to the next one?
This is the, this one,
it's like Tinky Winky goes to Lord of the Rings.
Well, but
with a little bit of fifth Harry Potter.
Yeah, right. It almost.
Does this look like where the neighbor who's the woman from Andor has been keeping an eye on Harry and Dudley gets beat up by the Dementors?
Oh, I think so. Well,
Alex and his droogs jump the homeless guy.
No, don't associate that with my dream.
Know what it looks like? So this is a tunnel and a Tinky Winky path. But you know what's amazing about that tunnel, Alex? It looks so Denis Villeneuve. It really looks.
I don't know what that means.
The guy who did Arrival and Dune. And
oh yes,
and he has, like, if you remember in Arrival, there's a very distinctive look to the house that she lives in. It's kind of echoed in, like, where Abbott and Costello are, you know, in the big tank thing. But then also think about the way he has this certain, you know, the kind of this looks a fuck ton like my nearby train station, West Portal, which is most distinguished as being this very curvy, like, weird 60s thing. But you know that look of when you've got concrete, but they've used, like, plywood to press it, so there's, like, a wood grain to con- You know what I'm talking about? Honestly, do you know what I'm talking about? It's such a weird look, because it looks like it has the texture or grain of wood, but it's fucking concrete. That's what this looks like.
Well,
And those beautiful clouds. I love this. Be careful. Don't go down that left side of the hill. It looks kind of like the Hound fights Lady Brienne. Sir Brienne. What's the prompt for this one?
I do in fact have the prompt from this one, because I actually did this one on my phone frick, what's it called? AI drawing? I don't know. It came out
a while ago. I had it. I know exactly the one. It's the one that came out a couple weeks ago. Everybody got it, but it has a usurious charge to use it.
No, this is Draw Things.
Oh,
it is
okay.
Stable Diffusion.
What I'm thinking of, oh man, the logo for Bubbles is so bad. I got something called El Pintador.
Oh yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's an iOS one of these.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. No,
a lot of them charge a lot.
Oh yeah. Like
it does feel a little scammy.
Yeah. This one, or at least I think it is free. I'm on the beta. It is not pretty.
I bet it's another one of those things that's like a land grab, like the look at this, it draws a mustache on you. Oh, you look like you're drinking a beer. Hello, 2008. Like that kind of thing or flashlight apps where you're like there's a land grab.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, I compared it. I'm like, right now we are in the iBrew era of AI.
Oh shit, Alex.
Yeah, it's very frustrating to me.
You might be in my Carass, you piece of shit. Yeah.
I do have the prompt for this one because I just took
this is the tunnel with the tunnel. Tinky Winky Trail.
Yes, I just did this. I woke up. It was felt like was a nightmare, not a night terror. I used to have those a whole lot, but I've been having regular dreams that are either dreams or nightmares.
Did you actually had night terrors? Is that the thing where you feel frozen?
No, that's sleep paralysis, which I've only experienced like once or
okay.
twice. But
okay.
Have I mentioned that I'm extremely mentally ill? But yeah, I mean, like high functioning.
You're like a person who goes, "Oh, pancreatic cancer." Oh, yeah, I had that 3 times.
This is.
What you don't want is a face anoma.
This is emerging from a confusing tunnel in a space with ominous relief. And what does that mean? I don't know.
Oh,
I wrote it at
3
a.m. And it.
Alex, yeah. We're doing our dreams. Like, we mustn't feel constrained by these things. This is not a 5-paragraph essay. This is life. Yeah. This is this.
But like you said, don't go down that left. Don't go to the left
because you can't tell that it is a cliff. But my perception tells me that is so fucking a cliff.
Well, and it's the
like you take one step because it's a little foggy or misty. You would take one step, your heel would start sliding in mud, and then you die at the bottom of this Tinky Winky ravine.
Well, what my thing is, I don't. You keep looking at me.
I gotta keep you guys on your toes.
But like, it's
Jumani.
This felt like I've been thinking about it too much, but now that I look at it and again, overthinking too much, but not on edibles, but I apparently should be, like, it looks as if, like, there's all these, like, ominous shadows, like the fantastical things.
If you saw this, if you saw this in a movie, you would be anticipating that some shit was about to go down.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh shit, this is like ominous relief because there's that like light that as you're coming out of the tunnel.
Relief in the sense of relief, which relief? Like relief as in a bas relief, like a not a fresco, but like relief as in texture, right? Or relief as in
relief as in being able to breathe.
Oh, okay, got it.
I wonder if relief
is partly why you got that interesting texture in the path and the tunnel.
I see. I don't know. Like the word ominous, I think, is what did the clouds in. But
those clouds look pretty real.
This one freaked me out.
But it's also got does that wonderful thing. God, again, Syracuse and I talking about art and drawing and last night, and the thing where like you learn. One of the, I guess, intermediary skills of becoming an illustrator or painter or whatever is realizing that things that are close look really sharp. And things that are far, the further away something is, you know, the more blurry or foggy it looks, which is how you come up with something like what the Fleischer brothers did with animation, where you've got stuff in the background that's moving more slowly and stuff in the foreground that's moving more quickly and the stuff in the foreground. And your brain is tricked into believing that looks like 3D. Because our brain knows the stuff that's far away is more blurry and foggy and usually desaturated. So it did a good job with that. Also, there's just a slightly, if you were to cover up the top, let's say even quarter or third like it looks pretty normal, but when you see it with the tunnel, it makes it feel like it's, what's the word that a plane does? Like it's canting a little bit. It doesn't feel like it's turning just slightly counterclockwise while you're walking through it.
Yeah.
Does that mean, but you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
It's like, ominous. It's very ominous. And that's going to send you straight down Sir Brienne's Hill.
I don't like it.
Love the big woman.
My final one was a...
Like Tony Hawk licked a toad.
It's a utopian skate park connected to a cloudy, twisting play place monorail.
Oh my
secretly
God,
controlled
came.
By a
so
let's say that
Holy
just
shit.
Let's say handsy uncle, but that's not what I put into the prompt there.
I feel like I would kind of love to have an uncle handsy
and uncle that
I guess he's coming for Thanksgiving. Please don't say Uncle Handsy. It's Uncle Handsy. You guys want to see a sick kickflip? Oh, I hate you. Why are you a clown?
The uncle that R-worded you when you were 13 is, I believe, what I put in there.
What
that was.
Yeah, he reciprocated.
And so the and this one, so it I would say that this is like kind of basic. However, the tunnel at the top is. So much.
It's hard to tell
like
what the swoopy thing is. Is it like a weather system? Is it some kind of like again a Dementor? Is it, you know what I mean? It's like I love
it's
that
what you travel by though. Like
that's
I think the monorail.
That you travel in.
Yeah, that's my.
Is there a chance? Is there a
monorail.
Chance the track could bend? not on your life, my skateboarding friend.
Not on your life, friend. Okay, well,
use my pen knife, my good man.
Anyway, my dreams have a lot of clouds and
Got
tunnels.
Into the territory.
This was fun. I think I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh, so good. Well done.
Yes. Go off, King. Yes, please.
Oh, you know what? We're pretty long, and let's just keep it bright and tight. I had a very dumb joke about tar. So I guess I could try to find some way to make sure this endures beyond the 5.5 days this will continue to exist. Please click on the tweet that says my job is really weird. And if I could ask, so I've got 4 images in one and one in another. If you wouldn't mind, let me just tell you what I did and then what I would love for you to do. Are you able to click?
Yes, I have clicked on it.
Wait, hang on.
My
job. Are you able to see alt text?
Actually, how do you see alt text on? Oh, right here.
So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's 4 images here. I would like you to please, I would like you to read aloud the alt text. If you, and we're like, I don't know how to make this fun with audio, but click through if you want. But what's the alt? So these are basically, I took things that every single one of these started with things I literally have written down from my dreams. And in fairness, I did then tweak them until I got results that felt like a dream. So these are not an illustration of my dream. They're like a police composite sketch of my dreams.
That is good. Yeah, we did distinguish in the after show last week that this is not a, like, you know, an illustration or like a comic strip of of dreams. The first one is
like you go for it. Well, you think it'd be, is it better to describe what it is first or just read it? It's hard to describe, obviously.
This first one
feels so much like my dreams.
I look at this and I'm like, oh yeah, I've had the weird plane
dream.
That's the
hyper-realistic part, you know?
Yeah. It's because it's real, but it's not real.
It's not real. It's you, but it's not you.
I love this one. It is a plane with the typical plane.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. I stepped on your shit.
Which one are we doing?
Here,
okay.
Fix it. I'm sorry. Make me sound smart.
I'm just going to read the alt text.
Fix it. I'm going to keep talking until you promise to fix this. Fix this.
I'm going to fix it. A sad man sitting naked and alone in the first class cabin of a flight. There is a very long hallway.
And the amazing part, so there is a naked man who has, depending on how you count it, 2 to 6 legs, sitting naked and looking very sad. But like, what's so amazing about it, I think I see what they were going for here, because what's wild is, so you know how the seats are on a bus, at least on our buses or streetcars here, there's seats to face forward, there's seats to face back, there's seats to face sort of sideways, depending on the configuration of the bus. What's amazing about this image, when you just sit with it for a minute, is like what it's trying to do here is it looks like this man is sitting in the sideways seat of a bus, right? Like a subway, right? Yeah. But there's seat back entertainment in the seats in front of him. It's just that basically this AI has confused what is the row that the drink cart goes up and down, and what is the tiny amount of space between you and the seat in front of you. And it's wonderfully unnerving. And plus, it's very, very long.
I'm obsessed with what is on the screen. Because of course,
probably Property Brothers, I'm guessing.
That's but there's the screen directly to the like his left.
Oh, the blue one. It looks like a Dell PC kind of.
Yeah, and there's like the little shack, and then there's the ones that he's facing.
Oh, it kind of almost looks like a Bob Ross painting.
It's very weird. I don't know. All of it. Oh God.
Well, he's got look at all those feet and legs.
The
talk about leg room. All right. I'll do it again.
No.
Okay.
No. It is.
Number two. We return to the classics. Number two, Alex. Please read the description.
Oh, God. Number two. Hold on. I don't know how to work the Twitter website. Okay. Number two, Norman Rockwell painting of Mike Pence sitting on a gravestone, eating a crossword puzzle, and crying inconsolably.
There's a lot of Pence meat in this.
There's a lot.
And it's not a crossword puzzle.
Oh, his eyes. Oh, no.
Because the beautiful part of this, he's like an anglerfish or something. He's a predator that touched by natural planning. No, that's David Allen. Natural selection, where it looks like his eyes are closed, but his eyes aren't closed.
His eyes are not closed.
He's looking right into your soul while he eats what an AI thinks a crossword puzzle is.
No. Yeah, this is terrible.
What about the hands on the gravestone, Alex? Do you like those?
I don't like thinking. Who's
prepared the meal?
Mother.
All right, well, we'll blaze through these two more. The next one's a little bit silly. It's a little bit of a stunt, but what's the next one?
All right. The actress Scarlett Johansson's... Scarlett... She's got her... Does she have a Johnson? We don't know. It's not our business. The actress Scarlett Johansson sits in an aquarium. She is bewildered and wearing unusual headgear.
Okay. And it kind of does. It looks like she basically just moved. She didn't realize until too late that she just moved into a screensaver.
It looks like you dumped an overly
the whole place?
Fucked mannequin.
Yeah, it's a screensaver. It's what it said. It's what it said in the ad. Yeah, but like what?
God. Oh God. Oh.
Okay, my last one of the four is a little obscure, but I love the work of Giorgio Di Circo.
I'm really glad that you said the name.
I know I took it from
Giorgio Di
Circo. Well, if you look him up, he's like. I think of him as being more expressionistic, but like he's considered an Italian surrealist. Giorgio Di Circo painting of a cheap motel room at midnight. A military school for white children has started growing there. The white children are all very sad. Now, what we came out with instead does look a little bit like a Di Circo or a Brock maybe painting. It's got a cubist aspect to it, but it mainly looks like somebody ate mushrooms and then started drinking an IKEA catalog. Now, the next one, this is the last one, and this one I spent the most time on, and believe it or not, this is the closest I got, and it's still nowhere near as good as my dream. But can I read the final one?
Oh, is this the one under the...
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Very common theme for me. France, airports, and poverty come up a lot, and flying. This is the description. An infinitely enormous airport terminal interior. Now you can see where I added that to cue it better, because otherwise it just shows, you know, those maddening runways. An infinitely enormous airport terminal interior contains an ancient history museum, which in turn contains another tiny airport. hyper-realistic, cinematic, cool color palette, detailed and intricate. But I also kind of like that it looks almost like a sci-fi cruise ship. It's like kind of like a food court, kind of like a Disney attraction. Like if you really look at individual aspects of this, it's kind of fascinating. And that's what made it feel like a dream.
If anyone has seen John Dies at the End, this looks very much almost like the surrealist warehouse.
I was going to say Synecdoche, New York.
It's oh yeah, that
you know, in the sense of like the way Caden has put the, you know, in the warehouse, yes. He's got all the different parts of his life staged and operating, and the people. Oh my fucking god, that movie breaks my fucking brain so hard.
This is I think the most Merlin-y dream that
I still remember the first time I had it. It was like, I don't know, probably a couple years ago. It was like I dream about airports a lot. I dream about airports. I dream about the Ringling Museum in Sarasota. I dream about, obviously, dark rides at Disney World, like any healthy boy. But like, I remember this. I was in an airport going through this giant terminal, you know, like one of those, a very modern airport with the very, very high ceilings and everything. I guess that's what airports are. But and I remember needing to get to my flight. And I took a right turn and I went by, like, there was one that was kind of like a duty-free shop combined with, do you guys have free speech zones or free speech areas at the airport?
What?
There's like,
what's
I don't
that?
Know if we still have this, but in one of the terminals, probably Terminal 2 at SFO, there's, I don't know, I think this is just a thing. There's a booth. Like, you would see a booth, not quite a kiosk, like a jewelry or iPhone repair kiosk, but like, the, you know, a counter, not to be confused with the counters on the other side, which are the airline counters, but like where you come through the automatic doors in that area where there's seats, for example, you know, and you'll see this.
I know what you're describing, I think.
Well,
but a free
that's
speech?
Where you put your Hare Krishnas. You go here and just here. So, So like, we have a free speech thing, but it's not free speech zone as in, like, a Trump rally. But, like, if you're here with your potentially very wackadoo thing and you want to give out pamphlets or sell flowers, that's where you do it. And what was this? Why was I saying this? Oh, yeah. So, anyway, I'd gone, but the kiosk was some kind of it was like a duty-free shop kiosk combined with some kind of an interactive experience, or like Max and his massages at what was it, G-Spec? What, no, what was it? What was the one? Where's the one where people got massages?
What? I don't know.
Remember the massage chairs at the?
Oh, at Gen Con.
We don't talk about.
Yep.
Don't
there's
talk
always
about it,
some.
But then I go right past that, and there was a. This is in the actual dream that I first remember having this happen, and it's been repeated numerous times. And then I walked by something, and it was like, it was an Egyptian, a history of Egyptian artifacts, but it was like somewhere between the quality of like a third grade diorama and a fifth grade play, but it was all Egyptian artifacts. And then, but I entered that, walked into that part of it and discovered that there was a second airport that was inside of the museum. And I didn't go this far, but I intuitively knew that if I walked into the airport, inside the museum, into the airport, there would be a museum inside the airport, inside the museum, inside the airport.
I don't know if you should do mushrooms. I don't know.
Hey, Alex.
I don't know. Yeah. You're such a healthy boy. Such a healthy, healthy boy.
Bow, now, now. Just for shits and giggles. Oh, I don't know if this is up. I did figure out, I said something the other day, probably to you. Yeah, I said something to you, I think, that may not have made sense, but I think something happened with my bunch where Maestral is not launching, and that's why stuff hadn't been showing up. But do you see, if you go, do you see a folder for in Dropbox, due by Friday, E320 Media? Do you get that?
Mm-hmm. No, I, oh, wait, yes, yes, I do. There we go.
Yeah,
here's all, oh, boy, oh, what's the twink with the boner? Ah, God, there's so many naked people on airplanes.
I know, I'm a curator, I curate.
I expected Scarlett Johansson. I had Mike Pence. I did not expect the twink with the boner on an airplane.
I'm calling him a twink, he has a name. This might still be the show. I'm not sure, but this might still be the show. Can I find you some of my prompts for these? Because some of them are pretty good. Anyway,
yes.
Flip through. You can see a few. See if there's any you like there.
His deformed arm is clearly in his pants. Clearly in his pants. Like, mm-hmm. the most realistic human with the most... Oh, God.
So that the you see the one with Scarlett Johansson, why she ran all those cardboard boxes?
Yes.
Because what I started with was closer to the initial dream. It's difficult to describe because when I say fishbowl, a fishbowl is a kind of room at New College. And it means that you're on a first floor. It's like the lowest of the low rooms in pay dorms. It's like you're in, you know, it's fine, whatever. But like it's one big window, but like the windows don't open. There's just like slats. And anyways, and it is like a fishbowl because people just walk by your room all day long. That one was Scarlett. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Scarlett Johansson sits in a fishbowl packing a cardboard box with large bowling trophies. She's wearing a helmet that is also a flower pot containing a ficus.
Oh, wow. That did not.
No, see, that's why you got to keep tweaking. I'm not trying. Like, here's the thing. I can write up what happened. And I can decide on the way over on this other side with my right hand over here, shaking this one. Left hand over here. I'm thinking about like the writing, right? Right hand over here is like, yeah, but is that what it feels like? And I will give up the verisimilitude of the written part in the interest of getting to tricking this dumb fucking thing into making the image that like is what it feels like. Do you know what I mean?
Like a lonely twink masturbating on a plane.
He has a name. His name is Dennis.
There we go.
I stole that bit from Bill Hader, but that's okay.